This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Lindsay, are you ready?
Yeah, now I am.
Do you want to get a couple more coughs out?
No, it's good.
I might. Hang on.
Is there a cough button? No. But you can cut me out of it. I'll cough like away.
Yeah, yeah. I'll cough straight into the microphone because you never know who has a kink about it. Okay, no turning back now, baby! Hello. That's a really nice tone of voice to start a podcast with, I feel like, right? My name's Miel Bredo. This is Punch of the Jam, and this is another episode, and oh my God, am I excited about it for so many reasons, but let me tell you more after I introduce the guest. Lindsay, I think we're going to do something crazy here and use the song as the intro song.
Do it. Oh, it's so fucking
it's
good.
It's a perfect introduction song, baby!
This is...
You know her. She's a writer, editor, or maybe you listen to her podcast, Who Weekly? It's Lindsay Weber.
That was amazing.
Thank you so much.
That song, I just already am so... I feel so warm.
It's just... I don't feel like you can go wrong when you're listening to Gloria by Laura Branigan.
It's so good.
May I ask what made you choose it?
Well, I've been thinking about it all year.
Of course.
Because, mainly because of the film. So, did Gloria? You see Gloria Bell?
I'm sorry, no.
So there's two, okay, so.
This song is not about that movie.
It's in the movie. So there's this French film called Gloria that came out last year, the year before, and it made like kind of like a soft splash in like foreign cinema, like a soft splash. But everybody was like, this is an amazing film. It's about this woman. It's like actually kind of depressing, but it's about her like coming out as like a triumphant hero in her own life story, whatever. And then
I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Today, I'm coming out as a triumphant hero in her own story.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
So then Julianne Moore was sought and she wanted to come out as a triumphant hero in her own story.
Okay.
And she was like, this is an amazing movie. And she went to the director and said, can you make this again, but in English with me?
It's just like this song.
They remade the entire film. It's called Gloria Bell now.
Is that just Gloria?
Yes, because she's American, so her last name's Bell. And it's just an incredible film, and it ends with the song Gloria. And the idea is like it's her theme song. And so that song, like, you know when you hear a song in a film and it's just like that much more important to you?
Absolutely.
Even though you liked it before, I'd sung this song in karaoke. Like, I obviously appreciated it.
Yep.
But that song, and then I went back to hear the Italian version, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. And I was like, this is the perfect song.
It's funny you mentioned that, perfect segue. This song a little bit starts to explode the premise of this show.
Yes.
Because Demi had previously put this on our Unpunchables playlist.
Oh my God.
So this is the first time we are attempting to punch up a previously determined unpunchable song.
He's not wrong.
No, he's not. And this is what I love about the new format. Is that I can do songs that are great.
Take that, Demi.
Yeah, you fucking suck, Demi.
I'm sorry, I'm a fan. No, I don't.
We're still friends. There's no bad blood.
Good. It's a great song. I mean, it's a perfect song. Maybe it's punchable in ways that are more nuanced.
Ooh. Well, I have some very interesting notes about this song. Where to begin? It's funny you mentioned theme song. Apparently, this is now the theme song of the St. Louis Blues.
Yes.
Hockey team?
Yes. We talked about it on Who Weekly because we were talking Laura Branigan.
Okay.
Who is kind of this like one hit wondery 80s
star. She had a couple hits.
Yeah. I heard Gloria for the first time as a B-side, I think on a vinyl that my mom had in our basement. It was like the song Self Control was the A-side.
That was the other hit, I feel like.
And I loved that song. My parents had a million vinyls and this was the only one that I ever listened to. Two songs. Gloria Branigan.
And Self Control.
That's it. And so I loved Self Control but didn't appreciate Gloria for some reason.
Huh.
So it's just like Laura Branigan.
She hadn't come out as the hero yet.
She was not the hero of my story. I wasn't even the hero of my own story. Oh my God, my voice sounds terrible. I'm so sorry.
No, it's perfect.
You think
it's a perfect compliment to my shrill screech.
Yeah, you do. You need a soft counterpoint.
I do. Thank you.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Interestingly, with the movie thing you just mentioned, the song, as you also mentioned, was originally in Italian.
Yes.
Done by Italian disco king Umberto Tozzi. In 1979, this song was a hit in a lot of Europe. Italy, Switzerland, Austria, Belgium, Netherlands, France, Germany. So everyone over there knew the song, but apparently it's really hard for songs in Italian to break in America. I hope that's not true now. I mean, hello,
it's
Gangnam
too bad
Style, of
because
course.
Not to be whatever, but it's kind of better in Italian.
Well, it is a different song.
It's a different song.
Let me play you a little bit of it while we talk about it. The general gist is the same.
Oh! Oh, it's like the exact same.
You can really hear the boom.
But the male voice, it changes the vibe.
Yep.
It's less of a female empowerment song.
Do you hear the ooh, ooh, ooh? Also whispers it.
Yes.
I heard monkey to Nanadia.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I love this.
So I thought it was a direct translation.
No, not at all. If you speak Italian, you already know.
Yeah.
That's a love song.
Yeah.
The general premise is that Tozzi takes the role of the song's main character and is dreaming about an imaginary woman named Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
He describes, this must be a translation, right? He describes his living days as misery, but when he dreams of Gloria, he says his nights are liberty.
Which is incredible. But also, somebody pointed out in the translation that I was reading, because I read a few of them in preparation for this.
Of course.
That Gloria is also just like hallelujah. Like it could be God.
Like glory.
Yes.
That makes a lot more sense.
So it could just be a religious kind of song.
Exactly. Because his friends say he's crazy and he argues the point that they have never met Gloria. But
right.
One day when he finds her, he says his friends will talk about Gloria's beauty and her loyalty to accomplish the goal of realizing his dreams despite everyone else's protests. The protagonist sets all in his life to search. What? I don't even know what that
like
means.
Like for salvation or whatever.
Exactly.
That makes total sense. This song would have been nice in the film Gloria Bell. Like she could have used this guy.
Exactly. And it's also worth noting that it already had been translated to English by a man named Jonathan King. Also in 1979, the same year it came out. That is this version. I know.
Never heard this.
No one has.
Where'd you find this? Oh, it's like too like... This
it
like
feels like
treble.
A polka.
I hate it.
It's all mid-range.
It's like missing everything.
There's no bass on this. It also feels like I'm angry.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What was that? Every night I see ya. Actually not. No.
Stop.
Oh, he's doing a direct.
Stop. I can't.
Only when I'm dreaming. Oof. See, like that's an uncreative. That's just a cheap ripoff. Like, let's get Americans in here.
Can you listen to the bass?
It does. It's like a polka. You're right. It's like a guy in a tuba.
That feels like a Weird Al parody. So yeah. I'm not surprised it did not pop off in the same way that Laura Branigan's version is about to 3 years later.
Right, because hers is so inspired and it's so...
Oh, and also her fucking voice.
Her voice is incredible. And just like in the very... iconic legacy of happy sounding songs that are sad.
Yes.
Which is my favorite genre, mostly
Absolutely.
Disco songs. It is like canon.
Oh my God.
It's part of that.
She's the legend
She's
in
the
those
legend.
Stories. Not only the hero of the story, the legend.
Yes. She's the legend and the hero.
So at the time, Laura Branigan was working on her debut album.
Mm-hmm.
She was mostly unknown, except she was a backup singer for Leonard Cohen. On his 1976 European tour.
Wow, what does that even sound
I'm
like?
I'm so curious to hear how she's singing like the backup vocals for Suzanne with that voice. How do you hide those pipes and backup vocals? I don't know.
Or even what do his backup singers sound, what do they even do? I'd love to know. Yeah, yes.
Hallelujah. I don't know. Something.
Exactly.
So she was working on her debut album with this German producer. Guess what his name is?
I don't even know if I could guess. This is beyond my...
I should rephrase stage name. Jack White.
Wait, really? But not the Jack White?
No, and like 30 years before the Jack White became the Jack White. Mm. I know, poor Jack White. Not
the
his
original.
Real name. Again, his real name, I will not pretend to... No.
But it's German.
It's very German.
Uh-huh.
It's extremely... It's so German that I don't think it's actually English characters.
Like if you said it, would be not...
Nor from the guy. Yeah, it's not happening. He also actually, I just want to throw in there, worked with Engelbert Humperdinck and David Hasselhoff, Barry Manilow, and a few others.
So like this was 1982 or 3. Like this was like the...
Precisely.
This was the depths of the 80s.
Precisely correct. Yes, thank you.
Because you were
so
like,
much.
Oh, he worked with Engelbert Humperdinck? I need him. We
Which,
need him.
Until the research for this, I did not realize was a real person. I only thought it actually was the Salad Fingers character.
Oh, no, that's,
which is
that's a real man.
Which is Hubert Cumberdale, I think I'm thinking of. So.
And David Hasselhoff had hits. in Germany. Yes. So this guy was probably the number one producer.
I mean, it's a great formula. What if we took an Italian hit or a German hit or a French hit, whatever, and made it an American?
And they had the best disco anyway. Like, they had better songs for
Dolce
that time.
Vita by Ryan Paris is genuinely one of my favorite songs.
It's genius.
It's so good. It just instantly you want to dance. I don't think American disco hits in the same way.
Italian, and especially like Italian disco, still you go back and you listen to it as well and you're like, yeah, whoa, this is a genre that we never really got a piece of.
American disco was CBD and Italian disco is CBD with a tiny bit of THC.
Hell, which is, it's just CBD doesn't work. We all
CBD
know
does
that.
Not work.
That's a scam. So
you need
THC.
Yep, exactly correct. That's I'm true. So glad we figured this out.
That's true. Everyone knows that. Nice.
When Laura was like, all right, that's a great idea. She had to find a lyricist to help her. That's where this guy, Trevor Veitch, comes in. I'm definitely saying that wrong.
Amazing. Yes. Uh-huh.
Coincidentally, he also produced Tony, I'm going to say her last name wrong, Basil.
Yeah, you mean Mickey.
Which, in a strange twist of fate, was the song that knocked Lionel Richie's Truly from the number one spot on the Billboard Hot 100, which Laura Branigan spent 2 weeks at number two beneath.
Whoa, it's just the same people.
Right.
Just, but wasn't Tony, she was like a iconic one-hit wonder person too.
Yep. Yep.
Laura, a little bit less so.
I know.
Laura had a little bit more
and
range.
And she had the pipes.
And yes, and literally the range.
Goddamn pipes. Yeah.
Tony was truly, when we used to say one-hit wonder, she was like the one of the first people that was named.
I feel like for my generation, it's I Think We're Alone Now.
Yeah.
Right?
Tiffany was the one.
Tony and Tiffany.
I'm a little older than you.
Yeah.
But not by much. Okay, not by much.
Let the record show.
Not by much. But it was when you would look, when they would have like VH1's one-hit wonders.
Yep.
Tony was always included.
I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
I only know her songs from Bring It On.
Yeah. And that song, Mickey, not great song. Mm-hmm. Let's just be, come on.
It slaps for about 15 seconds and then it needs to be over.
It slaps because it's weird, but you never want to hear it again.
No. Yeah.
You're not playing that at a party.
Even you saying it now, I'm like, I need to be done talking about it. It's upsetting me.
It's not good. Yeah, it's weird.
So originally they worked together to try to convert the same concept, the love story, the imaginary person, which by the way already exists. It's called What a Fool Believes. That's a song. Thank you though. Thank you for consideration. They tried to convert it to like a female perspective, a straight female perspective. And so they made it Mario.
Are you kidding?
Mario!
Are you kidding?
Which I'm like, is that a nod to the original Italian nature? Or you just chose a name that sang
it
well?
It clearly is. But like singing a love song to someone named Mario is absurd.
Singing Mario! Mario!
You lose a lot.
It didn't work and they knew it. So they
Amazing.
Were like, we're going to need to reinvent the song and change
Mario?
The premise.
Also, love songs to men.
We don't need them.
We don't need them.
Men get enough love from society, culture. We don't need to constantly reaffirm them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they can reaffirm themselves. Mm-hmm. Men should love men more.
Exactly.
I'm secretly gunning for everyone to become gay.
It's working.
Thank you. Everyone in the room's gay now. Right, Marika? All right. I'm so glad you agreed to that. So they decided to reinvent it. What Laura Branigan quoted as saying, a girl that's running too fast for her own steps.
Yeah. Wow. Beautiful. Because we're still working in German English now. We're still working in these with these people that are translating.
Yes. So he is German.
So there is a little bit of this German to English
influence.
Moment.
Yeah. One more note I have to say is that it earned her a nomination for Best Pop Vocal Performance for the year 1982 Grammys. Of course. The song actually got to stay on the Hot 100 for a record-breaking 36 weeks. Ugh. The record being, of course, single by a solo female act. Which I don't know why it makes me sad, but okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So solo.
The last thing before we get into the song, and I feel like the thing everyone's been screaming their whole time, they have to mention this.
Yeah.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
But you specifically are going to love this.
Yeah.
It's a comment from my patron, Camille Wasson, my patron gets early access to comments.
Love patrons.
Love patrons.
We also have patrons. Love them to death.
Truly, normal fans are great, but
the
if you have
people.
Money to give me... It's hard not to prefer
these
you.
These people, they are VIPs.
No, I'm just
they can
kidding.
Say anything to me.
I love everybody that listens to this podcast, but I will say your name on air if you're a patron.
Yeah.
It feels weird not saying patron.
Say the name again.
Patron. Camille Wasson.
Camille, okay.
So she says, I know hockey isn't huge a lot of places, but Gloria is the St. Louis Blues' victory song. And this led me to learn that there is an active, verified Twitter account for the deceased Laura Branigan. Rest in peace, Laura Branigan. Run by her friend, legacy manager, in quotes, Kathy.
I love Kathy.
Kathy absolutely lost it when Pete Blackburn, a CBS sports writer, started a joke where he said the Boston Bruins' victory song is Gloria. She lost it again as the deceased Laura Branigan. Absolutely wild. So of course I pulled up Laura Branigan's Twitter.
So she like got mad as the ghost of Laura Branigan on Twitter, yes, at these sports people for deciding that
for
they want
a joke.
Okay.
So Pete Blackburn tweets, "Play Gloria for the Bruins." Play Gloria is like the St. Louis's, what's their team?
Right. I guess
their catchphrase.
When I was telling the story about us talking about our podcast, people called and said a big thing about this song is that it is a sports song.
Exactly.
I would have never known that.
No. And truthfully, I can't
I am
be
from Boston. So Sweet Caroline, that I know. And that
whose song is that?
The Red Sox.
Ew.
But I'm saying.
Really?
Right. And so that
Red
song
Sox, reconsider.
That song is torture.
They go, ba, ba, ba.
Every bar.
No.
Every bar.
Stop.
It's torture. Don't go to Boston.
All the songs.
Don't go to Boston.
No.
You should actually do that song here because it's horrendous.
I don't ever want to hear it.
Traumatizing.
The problem.
The point is that if that's the song for a sports team in the city in which you live, that song is a major part of your life. So I understand why people were like, you must know that Gloria is the song for the St. Louis whatevers.
Blues? But she signs all of the tweets from Laura Branigan's account.
As Kathy.
Kathy, Other Half Entertainment. I don't know if she just like there was a mad scramble after Laura died and she like snuck
when
in and grabbed
Laura
it.
When did Laura die?
2004, I think.
Oh my God.
I know. And she's still tweeting in 2019.
Well, because it's amazing.
And
she's
not
really
understanding
amazing.
Twitter at all, because this is clearly a joke.
What if it's really Laura though?
Laura's ghost, or yeah, she never died?
What?
Whoa. She's going, what is this? And then all of these emojis. Play Gloria is not a Bruins thing. It's a St. Louis Blues thing. Try again. Kathy, Other Half Entertainment.
I love that she's protecting the legacy of the song.
Someone else trolls her again, tags her, clearly getting that she's not understanding the joke. I see that you're still dealing nonsense. Let me repeat. I'll even say it slow so you might actually get it this time. Gloria is not a Bruins song. It is a St. Louis Blues song. I hear your friend Pete Blackburn calling for you now, so run along, Kathy, Other Half Entertainment.
Is Kathy like from St. Louis, or is she like protecting?
I think she's really excited that Laura Branigan's becoming so famous again.
It's true though. I think that's a big push for the song.
I agree.
That it's this.
Probably a lot of people clicked on this episode because of that. So
I fucking hope so.
Thank you, St. Louis Blues fans.
I freaking hope so.
And just so we're clear, it is not a UCLA Bruins
Yeah,
song.
The Bruins can fuck off. And that is the ghost of Laura Branigan says you can go to hell. Okay.
I heard her whisper it in my sleep last night when I was prepping for this podcast.
The Bruins can go to hell.
Laura Branigan's legacy. Okay. With all that said, should we get into the goddamn song?
Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Oh my God, the kick.
Doesn't it sound like the thing you watch before the movie starts?
Absolutely, the trailer.
The
animation.
Yeah, and then like the popcorns come and they're like, yeah, we're dancing popcorn.
It's popping in space.
Yeah.
The soda fizzes more than any soda ever has fizzed. And sorry, I had to cut it.
That works so well.
It's the best intro song.
It's just...
Absolutely. If there's one thing I want to burst through paper to run onto the court with, it's fucking Gloria. Am I wrong?
And it's gimmicky, but it doesn't get old. How does that work? Like it's weird and special and strange, but it doesn't get old.
I know.
How?
Is it just... I'm pondering now. Is this what good songwriting is?
Yeah, no, I think it is.
Is this what perfectly dated production sounds like?
Truly. Like, it sounds like 1980 whatever, but it's not old.
In 1982, this sounds extremely modern, which also could be in part because we're all emulating this sound now. It's very trendy. In the same way that I'm seeing bell bottoms on the street of Williamsburg.
Crazy.
The single street of Williamsburg.
You came all the way to Williamsburg to see bell bottoms.
Literally, it's so confusing.
That's weird.
I myself own a corduroy jacket. Who are we?
It's true. And that's why Gloria's back.
Is it?
Sure.
And Kathy, of course. The good word of Kathy on
it's
Twitter.
Kathy. As long as we're paying Kathy's bills now, I'm like, we have to play Gloria. We got to get her these. Is she getting the royalties? I don't even know.
I mean, one would think if she's tweeting like a madwoman from this account, that's not only a lot of work, but very vulnerable. Put yourself out there like that, Kathy.
Yes, truly.
It just starts from the jump.
Yeah.
The second you hear that like ascending, and then everything drops. And then we don't have that weird boom, boom that was like happening in the two Italian versions.
That you were pointing out that sounded like polka, which is what we don't want.
We don't have it here.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's just setting us up so perfectly to hear someone belting her ass off. Mm-hmm. Ass isn't strong enough of a word.
It's her whole entire being.
Her intestines? Mm. Ass with 30 S's.
Maybe, and now I'm thinking like maybe the reason why I enjoyed the Italian version better was because it felt new, but the same. Because the song is so good that I've heard it forever since forever. But it felt like an old song. And then when I heard the Italian, it felt like a new fun twist on the song. Yep. And so it was just me extending my love of the song.
Exactly. You were like, how do I get more of the song that I haven't heard yet? Exactly. It's like downloading the downloadable content after you finished a video game.
Or just finding a cover of a song that you love, but then the cover is like a version of it that you're like, ooh, if I play this at a party, like I'll be cool because I know this like special version.
I'll be cooler than the episodes of Grey's Anatomy that do this. Yeah.
Which is also an amazing place to find songs.
Covers.
To play at parties.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, and then we get into, oh my God. Almost like a character.
It is. It's Gloria Bell. So good.
The way she sings, I would never shade her voice. There's no denying this power.
Sure.
But there is a slight character element. Gloria. Like, it's...
You're always on the run now.
It has a little more texture than just a belt.
There's some, like... slight drunkenness going out to somebody. Like,
well, maybe she's really like engaging with the character of Gloria, who is a flawed.
Wait, so she narrator. In this narrative, we should say what she just said. Yeah. Gloria, you're always on the run now, running after somebody. You got to get him somehow.
Yeah.
This sounds like a friend sitting her friend Gloria down, being like, sweetie, we need to talk about your trap game.
Love that.
It's not great.
Right. And so the singing is a character that she has created. That is like almost like maternal. Advising, you know, telling this person. Mm-hmm. So it's not this like belt or this kind of.
Not down here.
No, it's
down
great.
Here. She's like, Gloria, take a seat. You're always on the run now. God, do you want some tea?
This is such a good karaoke song. It's wild.
You could really act out the whole thing.
You could do the whole thing.
I already see it. You're doing a finger wag.
Yeah. Oh,
maybe
my God.
Maybe you're swirling just work the cord. The room. Ugh, if it's a wireless mic, you're walking floor to floor.
Out the bar, onto the street,
pointing
back in.
Everyone in the eyes with two fingers.
Ugh, so good. So
okay,
good.
Now what? I think you got to slow down. Oh, she's just giving us a hint. Before you start to blow it. The keyboard. I think you're headed for a breakdown. So do you hear the bass?
So that's where you have that like what you were calling the polka beat.
Yeah.
The bass is giving you a little bit of that.
Just
to keep things running.
Just a not, teensy.
She's running steadily.
Yep.
After.
We're walking. I feel it in my bones.
Also a perfect, if you are like exercising or walking outside, if you're playing this song,
absolutely.
You are keeping a perfect pace.
I run so much faster when I'm listening to this song.
You get to the subway from your house like 5 minutes faster.
Absolutely.
If you were playing this.
Absolutely. Very rarely does music have that effect on me outside of hip hop.
This like RPM, that's what you would say, RPM.
BPM.
Just BP, thank you. Mm-hmm. Very.
But if it was a car, RPM.
Very, thank you. You would, it's just an incredible.
Tempo. Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Next time someone says, what's your tempo? I say, play Gloria.
Play Gloria.
I think you got to slow down before you start to blow it. I think you're headed for a breakdown.
Oh.
So be careful not to show it.
God, that's so good. Great. Great lyrics.
Deeply relatable.
Yes.
To me as someone that actually, I guess the world will never know, myself included, if this is true or not, or just the narrative I tell myself.
Right.
That I'm always about headed for a breakdown.
Yeah.
And I got to be careful not to show it. Sometimes I just say, yeah, man, you're way cooler than me in this hang. And it feels like it disarms the situation. But perhaps there was no situation and I just made it weird.
And Gloria's just playing in your head.
Absolutely.
That internal voice.
Laura sings to me in my sleep. She whispers about the Bruins going to hell.
Okay, yes. And the Bruins.
Okay. And now we're hitting, I don't know totally how to qualify these sections. The pre-chorus? This is the pre-chorus? This is a B section. This is a refrain.
That was the verse.
Yes.
Right? And then...
But I'm not sure what the chorus technically is. This is a very interesting structure of song.
Okay. Play it. You really don't remember. Yeah.
Whoa!
So good. Here's when, in the karaoke version, you would start to really ramp up your shit.
And
show
then
your
here
voice,
you take a big breath. The hands, absolutely, you instinctively did the hand gesture sweeping towards the sky.
It's so good.
You have to.
Oh, it's
when you
so
sing
good.
That Gloria part, which, it's, by the way, who can sing? How did I fool myself into thinking I could do this punch up?
It's a hard note.
I might break my voice. This might be the last episode.
I can't wait.
Trying to
I can't wait.
This.
I can't wait. Wait, what are the lyrics right there?
You really don't remember.
Yeah.
Was it something that he said?
Ugh.
all the voices in your head calling Gloria.
I fucking love this. So this could also be an internal monologue is what we're saying.
So Gloria is talking to Gloria?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I feel is the case. Mm-hmm. Just because it's pretty harsh on a friend.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only, the negativity is really the only way, how do I say this? The negativity here, I only use when talking to myself, of mm-hmm. course. I would never talk to a friend this way.
Mm-mm.
Any therapists listening are very upset about what I just said.
but it's like, it almost realizes itself as an internal monologue here saying.
Absolutely.
Saying it's, you know, it's saying Gloria to Gloria.
I'm curious, okay, in the narrative of the song, I've read so much about it that I know that this has something to do with like her trying to attract men.
Yeah.
But failing.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So she's on the run, like, so she's always chasing a guy,
mm-hmm.
but like maybe stop chasing because you're going to have a breakdown.
Yes.
And like calm down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then in this section, she's like, you don't remember? Was it something that he said? What the fuck are we talking about now?
Well, it's like,
why is she spinning out?
Right. It's like, are you actually dwelling on something that this person said to you, or are you just like making up shit to make yourself
oh,
nuts?
My old therapist used to call that stories.
Yeah, no, literally. I think it's like
anxiety.
Honestly baseline kind of psychoanalysis stuff in this song, which is why it's so genius.
It is. And also like, I think that's becoming more and more common in like the public discussion.
Yes.
Is people being like, oh, this is an anxiety spiral.
Literally spiraling.
Like I think it's good and bad that we're like making this language known enough that people can identify what's happening with them. Mm-hmm. But then also maybe like on the negative side, using it as like a joke.
Well, this song like takes that thought though, but doesn't say it in like therapy language, which is nice because you don't have kind of this like 2019 like projection of like.
Yes. Well, I mean, even projection.
Yeah.
There you go. Therapy language.
Right, exactly. This song is baseline. Are you actually remembering something accurately, or is it just something you're telling yourself? Oh my God, it's so beautiful.
That's my new thing now is when people start telling me like, I don't know what to make of what he said or whatever. And I'm like, well, honestly, isn't the real point what you think it means? That story you tell yourself is kind of
Gloria
all that matters.
Lyrics back to this person.
You really don't remember? Was it something that you said or he said, or is it just the voices in your head?
That is like incredible advice that you would say to someone.
Okay, so guys, next time you're trying to relate to a friend going through a hard time,
just
see if you can
Gloria.
Sneak this into conversation.
It's so wise.
You will have to change the name. And if you do fuck up, the jig will be up. Okay, so now we're getting into the chorus.
Hmm.
But without background vocals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's just the, until we get to the words, the... Oh, it's so sad.
It's devastating.
Oh my God.
It's interesting too that
the
synth, I don't know what, I wouldn't even dare to know what instrument's going, the
da-da-da. Yeah.
The kind of call and response it's playing here.
Yeah.
Is about to be repeated, the same section, but with background vocals.
Amazing.
Very interesting.
Yes.
Structurally.
We're starting it up for the callback.
Exactly.
But also maybe it's because it's like a building of support. Like, it's like we're starting, she's still in her own head, and then it's like going to be
the voices
internal.
Haven't.
Maybe.
Chimed
Those
in
are the
yet.
Voices.
Absolutely.
God,
I love this story.
This is the saddest song.
So she said, Gloria, don't you think you're falling? If everybody wants you, why isn't anybody calling?
Oh my God.
So I'm
sorry. You could say texting and give the same exact advice.
This has to be internal monologue now.
It 100% is.
Because there's no world in which my friend is like having a downtime being like, I don't know. Like, I keep going after these guys who don't. Like me. And I'm like, yeah, maybe it's you. Like, I would
maybe
never.
Maybe everybody hates you.
Never.
Right. It's very harsh.
That's
it has
reserved
to be
from
internal.
Me to me.
It's very harsh.
Those are conversations had behind closed doors, by which I mean my mouth. It happened in my head.
Very, very harsh. And it's very like you're putting yourself out there in this like fake way or something that no one is connecting with you beyond.
And also like, don't delude yourself into thinking everyone wants you. Obviously, no one does.
Oh my God, it's so bleak.
Have you really met anybody who's lonely and alone because they're too confident? I don't find like that's ever happened in my life.
I personally haven't, but it's definitely a thing, I feel like.
But doesn't that usually, isn't that effective usually?
Well, it's kind of like the, you know, you're at the center, you're in a party, but you're alone or something. You surround yourself with people who can't get like deep with you or something, or they'll never get deeper than just like, you know,
surface
level
but
bullshit.
But do you feel like those people leave the party and are like, everybody wants me?
Yeah. Well, this is in LA. First, talking about LA versus New York. This is what New York people think LA is like.
Oh, really?
And is kind of like.
I mean, I think that it works in LA though. Everyone I know,
do get the phone calls.
Yeah. I think everyone I know who's like, everybody wants to fuck me. It's honestly annoying. Like they do fuck a lot. Or at least they have the opportunity.
But is anybody calling them for like a meaningful relationship?
No, but honestly, people that subscribe to that level of vapid faux confidence don't want meaningful relationships anyway.
Well, there's fake it till you make it. And then there's Gloria. Like those are two like sides of the same coin.
Quote of the episode.
You know what I mean?
There's fake it till you make it. And then there's Gloria.
Like it's true though. Like she's faking it, but she's not making it. Or maybe she's making it, but not in the way that she wants.
I think I'm making it and not faking it. And I do think you need to do both sometimes. Like, I think sometimes there's a unattractive or scary level of honesty you might bring to a conversation that people are like, ah, whoa.
Yeah.
Don't want to talk that vulnerably at this moment. Thank you, though. So, you know, I do think there is some kudos to be given to faking.
But I get the idea of, like, being in the center of a room surrounded by people and feeling alone.
Yes.
And like going back to your apartment that you live in alone and like, you know, whatever. That is what this song, I think, is trying to get at for this person.
This is the spiral after the party.
Yeah. Gloria's wild. Like she's a wild person.
Obviously. Yeah,
she's like fun.
Anyone named Gloria's crazy.
Fun. She's fun.
Gloria Estefan. Gloria Gaynor. Gloria the writer whose last name I'm totally spacing on. The feminist writer. What's her last name?
Oh, Gloria.
Help! Help!
Steinem.
Steinem?
I don't know if she falls in this group.
She's wild! I read her memoir. She's crazy, man. Gloria Steinem, Marika, thank you for that. By the way, Marika, if you're going to be, this is our first episode taping at the HeadGum Studio, and Marika, if you're going to be in a room, you're going to be on
like,
mic,
it's
sorry.
Gloria Steinem, you fucking idiots.
Listen, I just moved here, okay? I've read 3 books in my life. I'm working on it.
Just moving here means you don't know who Gloria Steinem is. Honestly, great excuse.
The fucked up thing is I do. I've read like 3 of her books. I just forgot her name.
Gloria Allred, the lawyer that everyone hates.
Gloria Allred!
She's fucking insane.
Our point is being proven.
Yes.
All the Glorias
are
wild.
She probably is the Gloria in Gloria.
Even the Gloria in Umberto Tozzi's version was probably wild, even though she didn't exist and is probably an allegory for religion.
Even though she's
religion.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, Jesus? He was wild.
Wild.
If there's one, I can't even talk. If there's one adjective I use to describe Jesus,
wild.
Wild.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
What else is there to say? You don't
have to answer. That's such a crazy note to hit.
The electric guitar is just like, I'm here and now I'm gone.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Back to that. So you don't have to answer?
You don't have to answer. Leave him hanging on the line. Which is interesting. Because
I thought nobody was calling.
So here's the thing. I think now we're speaking more just like, hey, you know what's the hottest thing you can do?
Oh, being
say
aloof.
Less.
Yes. He's saying play hard to get. Or
absolutely.
She's saying, the boy's saying play hard to get. Don't give yourself so freely. I think there's actually, it's not even about fake it till you make it. It's don't give of yourself so freely.
That's the lesson I need to learn.
Keep for yourself.
This is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
This is perfect timing.
It's great. Actually, it's great advice.
I was just rewatching 20th Century Women. Have you seen it? Do we know it?
A million times.
And Greta Gerwig's character at one point gives the young boy, who's not Timothée Chalamet, but absolutely seems like that was a miscast.
Sure.
Should have been.
Could have been. She didn't know him yet.
No, she didn't know him yet. Also, she didn't make that movie. But Mike Mills should have cast.
Sure. Yes. Right. She did it. She was just in it.
She's just an actor in that one.
Great movie. Amazing.
But in any case, she's teaching him. She's just moved back to Santa Cruz from New York. She's teaching the young boy how to attract women, how to be cool.
Uh-huh.
And the only advice is say less. And it has haunted me ever since rewatching it.
Because like for me, it's not physically possible.
No, I don't know. See, my anxiety.
Imagine saying less. Imagine.
We both have podcasts.
Huge problem.
Clearly physically
and
impossible.
And even talking for over an hour, 2 times a week performatively, I still cannot say less.
No, because if I feel anxious at a party.
You're just like.
I have this horrible problem where, and honestly, the people around me love it, but for me, it's a problem. I feel like, okay, I have the gift of gab. I can make a conversation move easily between people I don't know well. Mm-hmm. I know how to ask questions and get people going. So it is my duty with this skill set
at
this party to employ it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I'm running around being
just
fucking ping pong and like helping people talk, making me look like an asshole so they can bond over that.
Right. And so then you're just like, oh, wait.
Now no one likes me. I was just... It's like being the straight man in
a comedy.
You're
like, why isn't anybody calling? Truly.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you look at like a, let's say, Veep.
Yes.
few people are like, I want to be Matt Walsh's character. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a little love for the straight man. Mm-hmm. And I think in party situations, if I just fucking, first of all, wore a little more black.
Sure. Yeah. Welcome to New York.
Figured out how to do my hair, actually.
Okay.
Maybe start wearing wigs.
Just wear a hat.
I become a hat girl.
That's fine. It's winter.
Hat. And I talk less.
Hat's fine. And talk less. That's the hardest part.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'll shave my head. I'm not going to stop talking.
The hair is not an issue. It's the talking.
If we can make the issue the hair, I can manage that.
Yeah. No, I have the same. I think I have the same issue. The same borderline issue. It's like.
I think most women in comedy don't know how to seem cool.
Women in comedy. Yes.
That's why we gravitate here. Yikes. We're either just like weirdos with normal jobs who everyone's like, what's wrong with them? Or we pursue some kind of entertainment.
Which
field.
Makes us like.
Context.
The attraction is to like have the conversation, but it's like not normal every time.
Exactly. And then outside of context. We don't make any sense.
Wow, this song is therapeutic beyond my wildest.
I hope anyone listening found that remotely relatable. Otherwise, they're just like, I'm normal and cool and this is boring.
Right. I'm perfectly stable and fine. Like, this song means nothing to me except it bangs. Like, I don't need to hear the lyrics.
Oh, God! Affected. Well, we already know it bangs.
Must be nice for you is what I'm saying.
Gloria. Okay, so now we get to the same section again.
Yeah.
But now there's some voices in the head chiming in to reaffirm the horrible narrative you're spinning about yourself. Here we go.
Gloria, I think they got your number. Gloria,
oh my God.
I think they got the alien.
Woo!
Gloria, that human limit under. Gloria,
can we talk about her screaming?
Oh my God, just the way that she says L-E-S is so good.
Can you see goosebumps?
It's so good. It's so good.
It's,
the sharpness of her voice.
That's
is,
the thing. It's such a choice.
Yeah.
This is like, you could have a million technically proficient singers sing this, but would they sing it with the same fucking attitude?
No.
Gloria!
Like, can you think of a singer like Laura Branigan, may she rest in peace, who would cover this with the same like, kind of like sharp, like a like without, not just a belt, like a really good, sharp, thoughtful. I can't even think of someone who has
the growl
like,
and the screech. Like, I mean, like,
like who's like a, oh my God, like a rocker or something, like somebody. You
I would
know.
Say it's hard for me to think of any white female artist that would sing
good
like
point,
this.
Good point.
Yeah. But I think it's possible for sure. It's just such a badass choice. I almost hear her like shaking her head side to side while she does it, like stomping.
Yes. It's
like,
so good. It's so good.
Vocally, I'm a little concerned for her throat, but she seems like she knows what she's doing.
I mean, it's a sacrifice you have to make, you know?
Vocal notes just for Gloria, it's worth it.
Just go nuts. Just
so what did
yourself.
She say?
It's like they know the alias you've been living under. Right.
I think they got your number.
Oh my God. Which is ironic because they never called her. Get it?
That's the point.
Amazing. It's
and then I think
beautiful.
They got the alias you've been living under. Beautiful. So she's reaffirming they have every way of reaching out to you.
They know everything about you. They know that you're faking it.
See, this is the first time I have the context of the rest of the song.
Yeah.
Because this is the only part I hear the lyrics to when I'm casually listening. Mm. And this whole time I've been like, this woman's being stalked and this isn't funny.
No. And then you're like, oh, wait, it's actually not like. No,
actually, she's just a loser.
Yeah, yeah. I think they have the alias that you've been living under, which is like Gloria is not who she seems. She's also projecting.
They really have her number.
Oh my God. She's.
The double entendre here is beautiful.
Everyone knows she's a fucking faker. So sad.
Why, like, me instantly hearing this, I'm like, me! Applying it to myself. It's just not true, but there's so much of
but
me
that's
that I'm
projecting. Like, I think anyone who would listen to this song would be like, hear parts of themselves in it. It's like a universal self.
This is the new Enneagram. Which part of Gloria do you relate to?
Like, which part? Like, do you think you're like a faker? Do you think you're like not authentic? Do you think like
you're
people
throwing
know?
Throwing yourself at people.
Yeah. Do you think that like you're giving too much of yourself? Like,
you need to play hard to get.
Oh, it's such a crazy song. That's such a like, succinct, beautiful pop song to have so much like
depth.
Complexity. Yeah.
And also to be a rewrite of what seems like a very shallow Italian version.
Oh, the most shallow Italian version.
I dreamt of a girl. She's so hot. No one believes me. I'm going to kiss her on the mouth when I find her. Now we're going to get to the second half of this. I don't know.
Okay.
Chorus repeat. Let's
okay.
call it that.
Okay.
But you really don't remember. Was it something that
synth.
Yeah.
Thank God! She could be singing, but she's letting it breathe. And I can hear that bass.
Ah! With the like...
What is that?
What is that? That's the repeat of the beginning, the thing that led us into the song, that thing.
I wish I knew more about electronic
music. It's just a noise.
It's definitely a very cool effect. Like, I don't know. Flanger. I'm just going to say words.
It's just a setting. It must just be like a...
I have no idea. It's definitely a synth thing.
Yeah, it's a synth thing.
Whether it's a single key they get to press or if they had to like reverse. No, they couldn't have been reversing the tape. So yeah. Maybe they're playing like a really legato synth all the way up the keyboard. I have no
idea.
But
that's new to this version of the song. That wasn't in Italia.
Italia? No.
Right?
Je ne sais pas.
I have no... That's French. French. And I have no idea. Yeah, okay. I just was like, what did they... Because it does sound very similar, but there are moments that you pointed out, like how the Italian one sounds more like polka.
Oh, yeah. Boop, 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 boop,
and this does not have that.
No, it's just like... Boom, ding, 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 yeah. Ding. I think putting that on like a nice fretless bass sound was a good choice.
We're cutting down the like oompa of it all.
Oompa! Yes, we know music on this podcast. Yes. Thank you for listening. Okay, now after that... We just like went into space. The doors
like
opened.
Actually that was like was taking like
a,
off.
Yep. A sequin covered alien waiting for us, dancing so fucking good.
So in this, like Gloria's just going insane. She's nuts.
Gloria is like destroying her apartment.
She has
she's smashing vinyl. She's breaking a guitar. What else did they have in the 70s, 80s? Hairspray, a light on fire.
Yeah, it's the part of the movie where the female heroine just like destroys smashes all the plates.
But it's cathartic in a Beyonce way.
It's amazing. And the neighbors are like, huh?
And she's like, no one likes me, but I'm great. Yeah. That's my version.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, now verse 2. Harmony!
Oh, we got another voice. God.
Ah!
They're taunting her.
These lyrics are fucking fantastic.
They're taunting her, these voices.
The singability of these words.
Incredible.
I have to give them such major credit.
Amazing.
For that. Really, right?
Yes.
Every word you want to sing along to.
Main line.
Oh, what is that? I never would think to refer to someone not a rebound
as a main line. Well, I think they maybe reverse. They're like, we want to say like the rebound, but like what's the opposite of rebound? Main line? That's insane.
That's like a call on hold. What's right. The main line?
Opposite? The main line. Right.
It's so genius.
What even is it? But I think that this is taunting.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
We have a second voice. She's got like a harmonizer in her with her, like another one.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, like, how's it going to go down? Like, how are you going to date the next one? Will you meet him normally? Or will it be like a fucking divorcee with four kids, you idiot?
And also, wait, main line on top of the phone thing is like a fish on a lot. Right? On a line.
Whoa.
So she's being like, what are you going to reel him in?
Yeah.
Like, I feel that. It absolutely sounds patronizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. What are you just going to get some old sack at a funeral?
Exactly.
Like that episode of Sex and the City.
Like, you're so pathetic. Like, what's next for you? How are you going to find the next idiot?
Well, she's going to tell us right now.
Oh my God. That's so mean. Oh my God. Just the cruelty.
It's so mean.
The cruelty here.
It's so mean. What she said. Oh, will you marry for the money?
Oh, she's just like, oh, what are you going to do next? Like, what other meaningless fling will you encounter next in your life?
But the thing is, in 2019, my level of feminism coming to this, I'm like, hell yeah.
Right. Well, I think it's like there is a way to read this that it's not depressing.
Yeah.
And I respect that. The ownership of it.
Take your pick, Gloria.
But to me, the setup is not heading
towards.
She made
it seem sad already, so now I'm reading
it. She already
sad.
Made it seem sad.
But the positive version is like, trap a man for his money.
Yes.
You don't even like him.
Fuck him in the afternoon.
He's obsessed with
whatever.
You. No. I think that's a different person. Take a lover in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So like, you're going to marry some... Oh, like some for other his person. Money. Are you just gonna like fuck some hot guy on Afternoon Delight?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, is that not your favorite line of the song? Take a lover in the afternoon.
Well, that's truly like a 70s. Like, we're still referring back to songs from
taking
this.
A lover.
Yeah.
And also, sex during daytime feels explicitly 70s, 80s cusp.
How do they have the time? What was their schedules? Did they have podcasts too?
They were podcasting in the 70s. It just no one could ever hear it.
Incredible. Incredible.
Onto wax.
Truly. Radio. Yeah, exactly.
It was called radio.
Yeah, it was
that's
called
right,
radio.
That's right. Feel your innocence slipping away. Don't believe it's coming back soon.
That's what makes it negative. That's do you know
so
what I mean?
Sad.
That's actually like the confirmation that it's not.
Are we to read that she's saying you have sex with too many people and now no one wants to fuck you?
I mean, I read that earlier on.
That makes me sad.
It's a little sludgy.
Puritan.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Is the year 1642? Do we live in
excuse me,
Massachusetts? I don't understand.
Go Bruins. it keeps coming back.
That's what Kathy should be tweeting about.
Kathy's
this nonsense. This is a sex positive anthem.
How do you like maintain your voice? Like you scream a lot for this
me?
Thing. Yeah,
I don't.
Okay, good. Just wondering.
I plan on dying young, so my voice will be gone by the time I'm 40.
I'm developing a nice rasp, and when I get older, I'll say, "Oh, I did podcasting in the aughts."
The thing is, the rasp is really the say less of voices.
Truly, it's like say less time I speak.
I'm saying the opposite of what you're saying.
Oh,
I'm saying you want to seem cool voice wise.
Oh, have the rasp.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm developing it. The calluses are growing on my vocal cords as we
instantly.
As we speak.
I mean, when you think of voices that you think are cool, who jumps to mind? Scarlett Johansson.
Oh yeah, you're right.
See,
you're right.
More rasp, the better.
Incredible. Okay, great. So this career is really giving me more than just
absolutely
you know,
and
Patreon
from
followers.
Henceforth, in my effort to play hard to get and make everyone fall in love with me, I'm gonna be talking like this the rest of the podcast. I can't even fake it.
It's not even. No, just keep screaming. It's gonna develop. You're gonna develop.
Oh, okay, yeah. From injury.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Yeah. And now we're going. I don't know what to call this. This section. We skipped. Do we skip the fucking pre-chorus this time? Let's find out.
Yeah.
No, this is the pre-chorus again.
Yes, but same lyrics though.
It's exactly the same, except I think the synth is doing something wonky here.
She might be extending the like.
Woo!
Wow,
now everyone's in there.
Yes, everyone's here. Wow, it's like everyone. It's very like, you like a... When the sitcom reveals there's like a chorus in your bedroom.
Absolutely.
It's I don't know, like a trope that
The scene in 500 Days of Summer where they all start dancing to Hollow Notes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
A total trope.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like that singing the Gloria into this is the way I want to enter rooms from now on. I want to kick a door so hard it breaks in the middle. I want to nosedive through it. And then I want to somersault into like Mary, what's her face, that played Peter Pan. Oh, the gymnast. Mary Louise. Yes. What's her name?
No, Mary, whatever. Yes, I know who you're talking about. The short hair. Yeah, incredible. Yes. Amazing.
That's my
Mary Martin.
Vibe.
Yeah, Mary Martin.
I think Mary Martin. Okay.
Yes.
Second thought,
dressed like Mary Martin and Peter Pan?
Absolutely.
Okay, amazing.
We have talked out. This has been my therapy this episode. I have come full circle on this idea. Instead of trying to be someone I'm not and talk less and be cool,
you're going
to
go the other way. Peter Pan.
I'm going to do way too much all the time.
Oh, that girl's here who dresses like Mary Martin and Peter Pan.
And breaks door.
It's just her. It's just what she does.
Pays whoever has the aux cord.
To be fair, dressing like Mary Martin and Peter Pan in this city
would be cool.
A look, and people would love it.
Fuck.
And people would be like, that's hot, and I love it.
So my idea is going to make me cool, is what you're saying.
Yes.
By doing the opposite of what's cool, I will be cool.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh my God, Lindsay, what do I owe you for the session?
I mean, incredible.
Thank you so much.
No, truly, it's on me.
You really are therapizing me. I love
it. Oh my God. Yeah, no, true.
Okay, and this is the, I'm calling post-chorus section. I think this is just still chorus.
Yeah.
And then goodbye, like a jar. That was it.
This is like sailing away. Sailing away. Off to your therapist's office. Like, truly, like, I gotta go. I'm going right to therapy. Well, because this is ecstatic. This is.
Listen to that bass. You ever heard anything happier?
I mean, it truly is like Band of Gold here. Like, we're talking like the most depressing lyrics, the most happiest music, just so.
I'd love to circle back to the idea of playing this while going into therapy.
Yeah, you're just sailing right into the door, right through the door.
What a weird way to start a session, but now I want to try it.
It's so good.
Can you guys at home, if anyone is lucky enough and can afford therapy, can you fucking try listening to this as you enter the session?
See how it feels.
See how it changes the
session. See where it takes you.
If it changes the session.
Or as you leave? No. You need to come in with this energy.
Absolutely.
You're going to leave with a different energy, hopefully.
Well, if you need a pick-me-up, obviously try it, but we all know that formula. I'm curious to hear the take on the formula, at least my formula, which is, so how have you been? How are you? Going, I don't know. What did we talk about last week? All right, yeah. Like, I want to see if I listen to this song.
Be different. You're going to have a full...
Smash that motherfucking door in.
And maybe that's why, like, the Italian version, you can listen to it and disassociate from the lyrics that come with the main. Like, yes. I'm not thinking about, like, people not calling me back. No. Because in Italian, it's like...
Just totally, the song.
Yeah, it's just the song. It's actually the cop-out version of the... Laura Branigan.
I think
so. Pussies can go to listen to
the production slaps harder in the Laura Branigan version.
I think so too. As we're listening to it and really thinking about it.
Granted, they had 3 years of synth technology, but
that and just like the fact that the 80s really infused the song with the spirit it needed.
Okay, here's the last chunk of the song. If you're not thoroughly depressed, you won't be after this, baby. Woo! Now,
oh my God,
Laura's left the chat.
Oh, she's. She took her Valium minutes ago. She's slowly slipping away.
She needs to go breathe for 5 minutes after that
into like a paper bag.
I love this little melody at the end.
I gotta say, ecstatically talking about depression is like very modern, this song.
Exactly. That's why we're doing it. It's like, insane. The king is coming.
Well, this Gloria, this last part is very, is like praying. Is praise. It's like they're singing hallelujah right here, this part.
So maybe, okay, I've heard rumors, slow fade.
Oh no.
Slow fade.
Oh no.
I've heard rumors of this thing where your self-talk actually helps you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if maybe this is an example of that, where it's like I had to have an honest look in the mirror.
Yeah.
And then I came out the other side. And that's like the horns trumpeting to be like.
The praise.
Oh! Like you've arrived.
Maybe.
Or perhaps it is just in the original Italian version, since that is maybe about
but
God.
Maybe this is the part that's like the tribute back to the original, the reference back to the original.
I'm gonna look into it as a narrative contributor.
But I like it. I like yours, like it comes out positive. Like at the end, it's like it's a happy Gloria versus a scolding Gloria.
Gloria had to be Gloria. Like, Gloria, you're a goddamn wreck. You need to get your shit together.
Yeah.
Play hard to get.
Yeah.
Fucking take a break.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, okay.
And all she right. was like, you know what? You're so right.
Gloria.
You're so right.
Yeah.
Then she walks out the door. She opens the door to her apartment and the chorus is in there singing.
Gloria.
And she sings. She shuts the door behind her and they continue to sing and the trumpets come in.
If there's one thing I want in this life, it's to feel like when I leave a room, people aren't continuing to talk about me positively. Not only that, just singing about me. The moral of this episode, folks, is that Gloria slaps and be nice to yourselves and your friends and then tell them out loud.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yes.
It makes a big difference, right?
I think so.
If I was like, hey, by the way, your shirt fucking rocks.
Thank you so much.
Say it to strangers at the store.
Oh my, at the store?
I love doing that. When you see somebody who you're like-
Nice shirt.
Exactly.
Love you. Love that. Love the hat.
And like worst case scenario, they're just like, thanks, and they suck. But like- I didn't hurt me. I don't.
Oh my God! Have you ever been like that when someone says something like that?
No.
You go. Oh my God! I got it from here. It's on sale.
Or if they're remotely attractive, I'm like, me.
Right. That too.
Or I just trip all over everything I own and leave.
That too.
Tripped on my own tongue. I don't know how it's possible.
Like rolls out like a cartoon. Love that.
Like a red carpet dick just rolled out.
Yeah, like a red carpet dick.
Shout out the ludicrous episode of this podcast.
Oh, I actually listen to that. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
I think sometimes doing this, that like everyone's like, so you've listened to every episode and you haven't.
I have listened to a good amount of episodes.
Oh my God, thank you.
I really like this podcast.
Listen, you're doing it for me right now.
I mean, truly.
Thank
like,
you.
I really like this podcast.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I want to ask you now, would you punch it up? And if so, how?
The thing is about this, the new format of you asking, like, if I want you to punch it up, it's like, of course I want you to punch it up.
Of course.
Like,
when you say no.
I want to hear your version. Like, I want to hear you sing it. I think this, but I do kind of think this song is, I think Demi was right. After we just did this, it's like, I thought it was unpunchable before, but maybe like we'd find a thing to make it. But now I'm like, this is a perfect song.
Okay, here's a question. I think I know what I would do to the song.
Yeah.
I'll just say it on air.
Yeah.
Fuck it. You're about to hear it anyways.
Yeah.
I would take a literal translation of the lyrics and just redo that version.
And do it better than the first.
I mean, I think if you did the Italian lyrics, the thing is, this is not a punch up at all. This is just a punch.
What you could do is, and you can't do this because you don't speak Italian, but do the English lyrics back into Italian. and give the Italians the version that they deserve with Mario in it.
Should I do
what you ought to do is Google translate these lyrics into Italian, change it to Mario, and then give it to Italy and be like, you deserve this.
Oh my God, you're making so much sense. The problem is I don't speak Italian. However, I am fully committed to offending Italians. And then I could sing it potentially in Umberto's key, which would certainly be a lot easier on my voice.
That would be incredible.
Okay, great. Well, we figured out the punch-up. Can't wait to hear that in about 5 minutes. Thank you so much.
I cannot wait to hear that in 5 minutes.
I am realizing the flow of the podcast just got taken away from me, so we're going to have to cut back in.
Oh, to the...
Unfungible Jazz,
I was like, is she going to ask me? I have such a good one.
You can't punch this.
Okay, what's your Unfungible Jam?
Okay, so... For all my affair heads out there, one of the worst shows on television just ended this past week. It's called The Affair.
Okay.
Have you heard of the show?
I have heard the name.
It's on Showtime. It's complete garbage. The season one was iconic, and then it went fully downhill, like down the longest hill you could ever imagine. It just ended, and I've watched it forever. And what's amazing about this show is that it's always had one of the best theme songs. It's this Fiona Apple song that she wrote specifically for this show.
Fiona?
Yes. She doesn't do anything. She writes a song for this terrible show. It's incredible. So in the show, that's not the song that I'm actually referring to, but in the show, they end on this wedding. And one of the things at the wedding is this dance that this shitty asshole father choreographed for his daughter. And the dance is to the song, The Hole of the Moon by the Waterboys, which is a fucking banger. The show ends with the main character like aged 50 years. So he's like a fake old man. Love it. Almost like the Six Flags guy.
Uh-huh.
And he walks up a mountain and he looks at the sea, and then it plays a Fiona Apple cover of The Hole of the Moon. That is, I shit you not, one of the best songs I've ever heard in my full life.
You saw the hole of the moon. Your heels, you stretch for the stars, and you know how it feels to reach too high. Ah!
So I thought it'd be appropriate a cover.
It's perfect.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've heard it yet, but you should play it.
Absolutely.
It's on YouTube, and then but then we could just say the original, the Waterboys original, which is a song that is like apparently inspired by Prince. Did you know that? Like, it's like a.
Do I know Prince?
You know Prince. He wrote like a Prince knockoff, kind of.
Ah.
And the lyrics are just like, kind of like Gloria, just fully amazing.
Oh, I'm so excited to listen to this.
It's a great song.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
I, of course, wanted to do for my Unpunchable Jam the fellow Italian disco. I'm pretty sure it's Italian disco. Ryan Paris is Dolce Vita, mm-hmm. But I have already put it on this playlist.
Really?
So I'm now going to a different song that I feel like synth-wise is in the same family. Sure. And that is All Through the Night by Cyndi Lauper.
That is such a good song.
We have of no past, we won't reach back. Keep with me forward or through the night. And once we start, the needs are cleansed, and it goes running all through the night.
The verses sleep hard, but then when we wake up for the chorus, holy shit, am I awake?
Incredible song. Also a song that I first or maybe heard later that came back to me in a film. This movie with Juliette Lewis. Have you seen this movie?
No, what movie?
She like makes friends / like flirts with a hunk in a wheelchair. And it's like kind of all about, it's like she's like a mom who's like depressed because her husband hates her and all this shit. And she meets this like young kid and they like kind of have a horny moment.
Juliette!
And they dance to All Through the Night.
You have no past. That's a perfect song.
Incredible.
I love Juliette Lewis, not only because What's Eating Gilbert Grape, obviously, but also I met her at a party one time where I was so dumb. I'm only telling this because it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
funny. I went to like a cool Hollywood party before I really had
that's
been
like
to any before.
That's all you do there.
But I didn't know the status quo yet, and it was a birthday party.
For
so
who?
So what did I... I'm
for
not
who?
Saying.
For who?
But some Hollywood person. And so, of course, I was like, oh, it's their birthday. I should bring something.
Uh-oh.
Not something you do to Hollywood parties at all.
Okay.
What did I bring? You guessed it. Cupcakes.
That's funny though.
Instantly walked in and
that's
was
good.
Like, oh, this is the wrong vibe.
Shoves the cupcakes in,
this
throws
place,
them
this
in a bush.
This place has like a catered food and bartender.
Puts your cupcakes like on
so
the
I kind of did, of course. I like was like, oh, fuck my life. And like, I kind of stuck them in a corner.
Yeah.
And then who walks up but Juliette Lewis. And she's like, oh, cool. And just grabs a cupcake. And I was like, oh my God, Juliette Lewis is eating my cupcakes.
That's amazing.
And then she looks at me and she's like, did you make these? And I was like, Yeah. And she was like, these are fucking phenomenal. And I was like, thanks. And then we just had like a 15-minute conversation.
Wait, that's the nicest celebrity interaction I've ever heard in my
life.
That's
what I'm saying. She's an angel. I love her. She not only didn't make me feel weird about bringing cupcakes to a cool Hollywood party, but she ate one and then just talked to me like a normal person.
Complimented you. Oh,
God. It's the best.
And you know, and speaking of Cyndi Lauper, you know who'd be a great person to cover Gloria? Cyndi Lauper. Same tone.
Oh my great, God. Great tone. I don't know if she could sing it these
it's
days.
It's a high.
But.
Right. But think about her cool high notes back then that she could hit and the raspy like lower.
Absolutely. Lindsay, you have been a dream guest.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. This was genuinely a blast. I got to work through some things.
I know. I feel like better.
Really?
And I didn't even have therapy today. And like, I just feel like I thought a lot about my inner self.
I feel like listening to Gloria always makes me feel better.
Yeah, truly.
But then listening to Gloria and breaking it up in 10-second chunks and having great conversation between.
And also knowing a song is good and then like really realizing why it's so good is a true
absolutely
revelation.
What do you want to promote? Shout out anything.
Well, like my podcast.
Tell everyone what it is in case they don't know.
I have a podcast. It's called Who Weekly. It's very different from this podcast, but I would say it's equally good for your body, mind, and soul.
It's like celebrity gossip, but not interesting necessarily.
It's about C or D-list celebrities. It's essentially like to fully take your mind off garbage. Like this is where you would go. It's everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't, meaning you don't know them or you don't need to know.
It's purely fun bullshit.
It's like you listen to it and it floats in one ear and fully out the other, and you've had like a full bunch of laughs, and you're like,
perfect
I
for
love
decompressing.
This. Yeah, so maybe you'll like it if you like this podcast. If you just like friends talking,
yeah,
then you'll definitely like it.
100%. Yeah,
so check it out.
Thank you so much. Again, that's called Who Weekly. And Lindsay, you're on Twitter, Instagram, everything at.
Yeah, find me. Lindsay Weber, Lindsay my Weber. Name. Perfect. Easy to find.
Amazing.
Been there forever.
Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Okay, so here's that punch up. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere.
Mario, which is Gloria, Google translated back into Italian, which is a language I don't speak.
Penso che tu sia diretto per questo, quindi fai attenzione e non mostrarlo. Davvero mi ricordi? E da che cosa ti ha detto? Tutte le voci della tua testa che chi
era un ricordi, era che cosa che avevo. Okay, that was
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Hey!
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.